It's Current State on WKAR. Last Thursday, we aired part of an interview with former Congressman Joe Schwartz of Battle Creek. Dr. Schwartz, who is a physician and head and neck surgeon, represented Michigan's 7th District back in 2005 and 2006. Dr. Schwartz and I discussed his political and medical careers and began talking about his service in Southeast Asia, which included service as a surgeon during the Vietnam War and then as a CIA operative. Joe Schwartz has never returned to that part of the world in the 40-plus years since those experiences. In the second part of this Voices of Experience interview, I asked Joe Schwartz if he had any plans to revisit the region.
Yeah, I'll go back sometime. Again, I've traveled a lot over the years, but my main interests are in the history of Western civilization. I do, when I travel in Europe and enjoy that very much.
What's your most vivid memory of your service in the CIA?
First meeting my wife, who worked for the CIA as well. She always used to say, "Where would a girl from Montana meet a boy from Michigan, but in Jakarta, Indonesia?" And there was a lot to that. But my most vivid memory of working for the CIA, there are several of them, but I think being up in northern Laos, where we weren't there.
Right.
But had we been there, I really would have found it interesting working with the tribal people in northern Laos and, helping them kind of defend themselves against the Pathet Lao and the North Vietnamese.
Mm. Your political career began in 1979 as a Battle Creek City Commissioner. You became mayor, state senator. You aspired to Congress and to be Michigan governor. Both of those were unsuccessful, but finally elected to Congress in 2004. What issue or event will you remember most vividly from your congressional term?
Embryonic stem cells. The leadership in the House, at that time Speaker Denny Hastert, was a good guy, by the way, but he didn't want to allow a vote on human embryonic stem cell research. And there was a bill, it had both Democratic and Republican sponsors, and they took a look at me and they knew that I was very strongly human embryonic stem cell research, and said, "Well, you get on the train with us here and voice your support, and we'll go back to the Speaker and see what we can do to let him get us a vote." Mike Castle from Delaware was a Republican sponsor. Diana DeGette from Colorado, she's still in the Congress, was the Democratic sponsor. So we went to Speaker Hastert, sat down at his table in his office, just off the chamber of the House, and I expected to sit there and listen and give my assent. And Castle looks at me and he said, "Okay, Joe, tell the Speaker why we should have a vote on this bill." So I did. And Hastert, who was a very respectful guy and a very bright guy, listened and listened and listened, and he said, "Okay, I'll give you a vote." And the vote went up, and then sometime in the next couple of days, and it passed with a significant number, not veto-proof, might I add. Went to the Senate, it passed with a significant number there, not veto-proof. Went to the President, and President Bush, it was his first veto.
Mm-hmm.
And we ran it again probably 6 months later. It passed with even more votes, but not quite enough to be veto-proof. And so, human embryonic stem cell research was not approved to be done in federal facilities until Barack Obama became president. He did it by executive order. But I think just getting the vote up there and showing that there was majority support, significant majority support in both the House and the Senate for human embryonic stem cell research was the thing that, did you have an effect on something? Did you personally? Yeah, I personally had some effect on that, which was unusual because there are very few members of Congress have effect on any given issue. The decisions are all made by the Speaker and by committee chairs. And if you're a junior member, you better be darn good at constituent service because that's about all you're going to do.
Mm. What's it like to follow what the University of Michigan is doing now in the stem cell research area?
Well, they're doing a great deal at the Taubman Institute. Dr. Eva Feldman runs the Taubman Institute. And they're doing a great deal with amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, Lou Gehrig's disease, and there are a bunch of other places in this country that are doing it as well. There's been the big brouhaha about Gordie Howe going to Mexico and getting stem cell research.
So
I don't know what to make of it. You know, if I don't have the information, I don't know. But that's been in the paper recently. But stem cell research is very important, and stem cell treatment, stem cell therapies are the future. And I think people need to recognize that and encourage it. And no one wants to do anything unethical with stem cells, and they won't. The stem cell opponents, they're very good at making up stories about why it's unethical. And all I can say is they're good at making up stories, they just don't wash with people who really know how it all works.
Physician, former Michigan congressman from the 7th District, Joe Schwartz, is our guest here on Current State on WKAR. How frustrating was it not being reelected?
It was frustrating, but it was typical. I was kind of the test case for the Club for Growth in 2006. The strategy, which has now been used in 2008, 2010, 2012, and 2014, especially by the Republicans, is to primary incumbents from the right, especially moderate incumbents, because the voter turnout in primary elections is utterly abysmal. I mean, it's embarrassingly abysmal. And it spend a lot of money on the challenger. And then the true believers come out and vote. In my case, 7.8% of the registered voters in the 7th Congressional District essentially elected my successor. And that's true elsewhere. I mean, I give myself as an example. That's just the way it is. And unless people understand they have to vote in primary elections, if there's someone, especially an incumbent, whom they support, and that incumbent happens to be a moderate, you know, outside funding, it's always outside funding from, and now since Citizens United, you have no idea where the money's coming from, will come in, put a candidate up who is far to the right of the incumbent, and they will get the faithful, the true believers, the Kool-Aid drinkers will come out and vote in the primary and frequently defeat the incumbent. I would say, I enjoyed my time in Congress a great deal. I enjoyed my time in the state Senate a lot more. The state Senate was a great place. And you know what? You could actually get things done. Republicans spoke to Democrats. Leadership was good. I was specializing in something that I really loved, which was funding for public universities. That I truly loved. It was fun being a congressman. Quite frankly, it was more fun being in the state Senate.
When you think back on the arc of your career in politics, from 79 in the Battle Creek City Commission through Congress, what emerges from that arc for you, from that arc of political involvement?
I enjoyed it. I've enjoyed it all. It was something I had always wanted to do. One of my father's favorite sayings to my brother and my sister and myself was, "You're here to serve." Always remember, you're here to serve. He died when I was a junior at the University of Michigan, but I never forgot his words. And he was a World War I veteran and a World War II veteran.
Mm.
And, he served. And I know that
So you grew up hearing that message,
absolutely.
And it definitely took root. In
absolutely.
You.
He imbued that in my brother and my sister and myself. And we did the best we could to follow his lead.
And for all of your travels, you still live in Battle Creek. As a young guy, did you envision living at age, you're 77?
77.
77. Did you envision as a young guy living at the age of 77 in the same city you grew up in?
Yeah, more or less I did. I think that you have to commit yourself to a community. And it happened to be a community that I loved. The community was very good to my family. I did my residency at Harvard and actually was on the faculty of the medical school at Harvard for a year. And in 1974, I came back to Battle Creek because it was home. And I think it's important. And again, when I left Congress, I came home. There were chances to stay in Washington. No, You belong at home. You have a home. You have a community that you love. Go there and serve it.
That suggests a powerful connection.
It is a very powerful connection.
It's funny, back in 2000, you mentioned your enthusiasm for trains earlier. Back in 2000, I was invited to ride on a whistle-stop-style tour of Lower Michigan with the Bush campaign, which I did. Never met then-Governor George W. Bush, but rubbed shoulders with a bunch of Republicans on this train between Durand and East Lansing.
I was on the train.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know you at the time, but I hanged with Governor Engler for a spell, and he looked around at the interior of this train, beautiful train we were riding, and he said, Joe Schwartz has got to be loving this. You know, Mr. Schwartz, he knows everything about trains. He knows about the mechanics and the vintages and on and on. Where did that enthusiasm come from?
I don't know. I think it's kind of funny. My dad used to take me down to the Grand Trunk Roundhouse in Battle Creek, and I just love trains. And I got to know the people that worked in the roundhouse, and when I go down there, one fellow was the day hostler down there. His name was Scotty McPherson. He was an old railroader, and he always take me up in the cab of the engine when he take him out of the roundhouse and coal him and water him and get him ready to go on the road. And I just love trains. I loved them then, and I love them now.
You've ridden a lot of them?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You've been widowed and divorced, and you have a daughter, Brennan. Is she leading anything as active a life as you have?
Yeah, she's very active. She has a degree in history from the University of Michigan, and she has a master's degree in public policy from the Ford School at the University of Michigan. And she worked in the state government here for, I don't want to say a number of years, but for 6 or 7 years, and she decided she wanted to be a nurse. And I said, that's great. I mean, your grandmother was a nurse. Do it. So she went to nursing school here at Michigan State, got a bachelor's degree in nursing, and she is a nurse and is enjoying it. Hmm. And has two little children, enjoying them as well.
You have lived a full life. As a young man, was that part of your plan, or did you just, you've suggested a couple of times here, you just enjoyed it. Did you just do what you enjoyed all your life, or was there some kind of plan when you were a younger guy?
A plan would be dignifying it far more than it should be dignified. No, I kind of go where the road leads me, and I've been pleased. Things have worked out well. You have your disappointments. You have your good days. You have your bad days. I have had very few really bad days, but occasionally. But I've enjoyed it, and if I had it to do all over again, quite frankly, I'd pretty much do it the same.
If you were to offer advice to a younger person who's got a public life in mind, public service mm-hmm. in mind, what advice would you give them here in 2015?
Do it. If you want to run for office, run for office. This is what I tell my students at the Ford School at the University of Michigan. If you want to run for public office, run. Run for the toughest offices there are. School board, township trustee, city councilman.
Those
are the toughest offices there are, because you have to deal with people on a face-to-face basis all the time. If you're in the legislature, you're in Congress, you walk on the floor of the state senate or on the floor of the U.S. House, nobody can get to you. But if you're a school board member or a city councilman, as I was, something like that, the people are there. I used to take, when I was mayor of Battle Creek, I used to take the newly elected members we call them commissioners in Battle Creek, city commission, out into the chamber before their first meeting, and the crowd would be gathering, and there'd be anywhere from 50 to 300 people, depending on the issues. And I'd say, you see those folks out there? And they'd say, yeah, man, this is great. Look at all those people. And I'd say, you know why they're here? And they'd say, no. I said, because they don't like you. They would not be here if they thought you were doing a great job. They're down here because they have a bone to pick. The ones who think you're doing a great job are home watching TV. So you have to be aware of the fact, and you have to be ready to defend your position. The other thing you got to be ready to do is listen, because people come up with ideas that may be a better twist on an idea that you might have.
Joe Schwartz, a pleasure to have you here on Current State. Continued success.
Thanks very much, Mark. Great to be here.
Physician, surgeon, ex-congressman, CIA operative Joe Schwartz, part of Current State's Voices of Experience series. If you'd like to nominate an extraordinary Michiganian for consideration, email us at currentstate@wkar.org.